Sukkot or mosque.
I've got.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Do you have moss? I've got so much moss. It is just.
It's green.
I've never seen places before. It's just, yeah.
All right, it's 7 o'clock, so we can go ahead and get started. Just a reminder to everyone, you know, silent cell phones, please. And I call to order the March 20th meeting of the Kirkland Design Review Board. First order of business is a roll call.
Carolyn Adams, Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan, Brad Browns.
Here.
Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
Let's see. No reading and approval of minutes. Tonight's agenda is a design response conference for the Eastside Prep Fine Arts Building. And we also have an administrative report for Kirkland Urban Place. Do we have anything from the audience, any comments or questions for items that aren't on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, let's go ahead and begin our design response conference for Eastside Prep.
Good evening. Good evening, board. All right, so this is the design response conference for Eastside Preparatory School's Fine Arts Building. Tonight, we're reviewing the applicant's request to demolish two existing structures and construct a new four-story fine arts building. This building would include a theater, music room, classrooms, administrative offices, and below grade parking. Is this? Okay, you guys can see that right there. It just seems really like, yeah, you can dim it a little bit. I can. Is that better for you guys? Okay. Okay. So tonight, the board should review the project design, discuss the topics identified by staff and other board members, and you should either come to a decision on the proposal or continue with further meeting by providing direction to the applicant and specify items needed in the submittal. So a little context here. The project is located in the southern part of our city in the Lynbrook Office Park. Surrounding properties contain offices, food services, and lodging. The project is next to both school and office buildings. The school is this area right here. And the office buildings are to the north. This is kind of northeast or northwest, sorry. All the uses take access off of Northeast 38th Place. Current zoning in the area allows for building heights between 65 feet down here, right there. The site itself allows for a building height of 60 feet. Zoning regulations include permitted uses, including the school use, zero setbacks from all property lines, a 60-foot height limit, maximum 80% maximum lot coverage, parking studies required, tree retention plan. Note that the project's parapets may exceed the height limit by about 4 feet, but must maintain an average of 2 feet. The peak roof may exceed the height limit of 8 feet if it has a minimum 412 pitch. The project requires design review and consistency with the Yarrow Bay Business District guidelines. Staff also must review the project under SEPA and city codes. At our last meeting, the board expressed a preference for massing alternative 3. DRB should provide feedback on the east facade's vertical and horizontal modulation and vertical articulation. Should discuss techniques used to break the proposed building mass, and broadly on blank wall treatments. Should also provide feedback on the vantage from Northeast 38th Place, and also on other elevations. Staff would like you to pay particular attention and provide feedback regarding the northwest corner. Oops, sorry. Let me get back over to this. That's right here and here of the building. We also would like to provide you guys to provide feedback on the plaza design, overhead weather protection, the walkway within the new landscaped plaza, which I'll show you in the next slide, and connection to Northeast 38th Place. This is that walkway through the plaza, the landscape plaza that they had created right there. That's new. Also provide feedback, just provide feedback broadly on landscaping as well. And also the provide feedback on the proposed materials and colors. At this time, that's the end of my presentation. At this time, I can bring up the applicant unless you have questions.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I ask a question? Where are you guys in the rest of the process in terms of the building?
Okay, I'll use the mic here in a second.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott. My name is Jeff Boone. I'm with Public 47 Architects. I'm going to introduce some people in the audience, and then I'll answer your questions, Susan. We have Bob Baldwin from Eastside Prep. We have Ann Gigi. She's the land use attorney for Eastside Prep. Dodie Fredericks, landscape architect. And then two people from Public 47 on the team, Danielle Rawson and Steven Jackson. So I wanted to introduce them in case they get involved with the conversation. And because they're important team members, Susan just asked the question of where we are in the permitting process. So what we are doing is we have been working with the city to establish what the city calls a progressive permitting process. As part of that, we have submitted a shoring and excavation permit. And with that permit, we submitted what they call a 30% permit submittal. To get initial feedback from the city. That happened about a month ago. We submitted those. And then we just, on Friday, submitted a 60% progressive building permit set to the city as well. Our hope is to go in for permit April 14th is our goal for the full building permit. And the school is hoping to start shoring in May. So thank you all very much. I think most of you were here last time. I think Brad maybe wasn't. So feel free to jump in and ask us questions. But reiterate where we're building this project. The project site is two buildings. Technically, it's four buildings, but two structures that are coming down, which contain some undersized classrooms currently and their administration offices. This is a PUD. Those buildings are essentially our property lines. Scott already showed this site, but the diagram on the left shows our exclusive use easement. Really, this is the school's, the limits of the area they can affect. The parcel lines are really the building site. The rest of the PUD needs access, shared access off of 38th. Some existing context photos. I think you all are very aware of the site. This is the TMAC project that was built recently. Some of the newer development on within the zoning, actually this is the YBD1, is Kirkland Crossing. It's a six-story building across the street. And this is our site seen from the street. And you can see that the site is actually a little bit below street level, and this front area is currently surface parking, and the school has decided to replace some of that surface parking with below grade parking. So this is the site diagram we talked about last go around, where we have the two building parcels. The theater and music program are essentially on the west parcel, and the classrooms and administrations are on the east parcels, but it's one project, and in between is an atrium lobby space that you'll see. To the east, as you enter, we're replacing some of that surface parking with a new landscape plaza, trying to improve the front door to the campus and really start to, this is an opportunity for the campus to start to elevate and evolve from an office plan development and make it into a more pedestrian-friendly campus. And then we're seeing the opportunity here to build a new building that really starts to reinforce the pedestrian experience between the campus buildings and create an enhanced pedestrian plaza between the two. And this is just a reminder of some of our constraints. Our parcels are very strictly confined, and we have the ability to bridge between those to create one building, but only using access as a way to connect the two parcels.
Could the two buildings be actually physically connected?
They are physically connected, yeah.
No, but the atrium is your idea. There's no unusual requirement that leads to that in terms of the PUD.
The requirement is that we can't use program space. We can't, for example, have a classroom between. Yeah. So elements of access. And this is where we left off last go around, where we have the four-story structure on the east side, that is large classrooms and offices, and then we stepped down. We carved down the west portion of the building to bring the scale down, and then we started to articulate the atrium as well. Sorry, I should move a little quicker here. Shadow studies. Let us know if you have any questions on this. It's one of the requirements, and we can talk further about the shadow studies. Again, we've stepped down the western portion of the building from our height limit, allowable height limit. So on the site plan, this is a more detailed site plan, which really relates to the diagram we just talked about. We have replace the surface parking with the plaza, an entry plaza, and really wanted to introduce a little more green space into this campus, but also allow kids to occupy it. So so there is a little bit of a path through here with some benches for kids to find a place of repose, where the more active play space is to the west. So there's a little bit of kind of a zoning of different exterior landscape elements. We have the dining hall and the TMAC, which are connected by this new student plaza. We have a lot of transparency along this edge. We have a significant overhang that at minimum is 6 feet, but even deeper as you get to the center entry. This is also the public entry, visitor parking. Someone would arrive. They would actually have better sense of where to enter the building than the previous administration building. And so there's the public entry, but really a lot of student movement is going to happen free flow through this central plaza cars enter the site either through this shared access, shared with the rest of the PUD, the rest of the offices. There's an entry to the south as well. And from the south, it's really one way. This is a fire access lane on the backside. The school only uses this for drop-off. So early in the morning, parents can come along to the backside and drop off at the play court. But the rest of the day, there is no car access on this back lane, and they use it as their outdoor play space. And cars can also go one way along this parking. To enter the garage then, either someone would come around in the morning and enter the garage from the north underneath the atrium, or you would come, and as you enter into the campus, you would take a right and move around. And what we've done is we've really tried to work to separate the pedestrians from that movement. So we've really tried to kind of contain the pedestrians within the site. So you can move, for example, around the building, up a ramp to the atrium or down the stairs to the stagecraft, outside the stagecraft, without crossing any of these cars that are going into the garage one level below. And that starts to work with the topo, as you'll see in our renderings later on. The other opportunity we had here was to really improve the accessibility of this campus. It's challenged because there's a significant grade change from the entry to the campus to the back play court. And now there's gentle sloping walks that allow accessibility from one side to the other and down to the lower level classrooms. Dodie, can I bring you? So Dodie will talk about the landscape plan, and you guys can ask questions about. I can advance. It's
okay.
Just that, yeah.
Okay. So we've selected plantings to serve a number of purposes. We're using a formal bosque of trees to enhance that focus on the main entry and create a setting for that. We used groves of trees and shrubs to separate the student pedestrian use areas from the surrounding parking at the perimeter of the site. We've also used some of the same species of plants, trees and shrubs, that we've used at TMAC to just enhance that sense of continuity as one campus. We're using some planter troughs with vine trellises around the roof garden. There's a big roof terrace that's accessible to the kids. And those will not only provide a nice green setting for that space and break up the space into smaller areas, but also separate you from the mechanical and from an experimental garden area. In addition, those planters provide a secondary secure boundary to the roof so that while there is a guardrail, there's also this, you know, tall metal trellis with vines growing on it so that, you know, to keep the kids away from those edges. We've used plants with a lot of seasonal variety, things that bloom in the winter, things that have year-round foliage color, things that have a lot of fall color as well. Oops, that wrong way. A lot of the trees color up beautifully in the fall. We're using ginkgo trees at that bosque in the front. We have some mid-sized maple called three-flower maple. Parodia, which has very powerful fall color, and that was also used over at TMAC, so that'll create that continuity. These are the trellises that we're going to be using up on the roof, so that they will include some grasses and some vines and things that will provide that boundary. So I think in all, you know, we're aiming to create to support that sense of it being campus and having more space that's usable by, you know, having a setting that really enhances that for the kids and the teachers and Bob. That's a good.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll just quickly walk you through the plans. So there's two levels of, or a level and three quarters of parking. This is the lowest level, just a very rational parking garage. The school is essentially increasing the parking by 100 stalls. They currently have about 137 stalls, and they'll have about 126 stalls when all is said and done. 226, excuse me. This is the entry level into the garage. So you, again, you enter between the two parcels under the atrium. As the topo slopes down, so the building becomes daylit on this side, and so we use that as an opportunity to get some classrooms. This is an art studio and green screen room, and then this is stagecraft. This is where they'll make the stage scenery for the theater above. So this is the main level. You can start to see the assembly performance hall and stage to the west, separated by a foyer and atrium with administration. This is the choir room, which will also operate as the green room for any productions happening in the theater. And this is a meeting room that they'll use largely for their tours that they operate and part of their college recruiting process. And you can see that we have this gallery space that's, again, very transparent, that opens up with some large nano walls to the plaza. Oh, the one thing I should mention about this area, too, one of the reasons this starts to flow diagonally is this is sloping down along here. So the more we can hit this corner, the easier we are connecting to that sidewalk. And it creates a little bit of a different kind of meandering gesture within the campus. Second floor on the east side, a number of classrooms with operable partitions to give them flexibility, an open atrium space that goes three stories. And then this is a lecture room. It's a mezzanine for the theater, and it can be used for dance or yoga. It has a large operable vertical folding wall, so if they had a larger assembly, they could open this up to the theater or operate it independently. Third floor, again, classrooms to the east and the core, separated by the atrium. This zone here is what they call guided study hall, support space for their students, some practice rooms, and their large music room. The space over the theater is called Attention Grid. It allows students and staff to learn how to set lighting and things above the stage theater without walking on catwalks and stuff. It's a mesh system that they can walk on. And you can see in these diagrams how we've articulated the atrium, given some modulation to the project, and these are fully glass walls on either end, and the atrium is skylit from above. And you can see that here. This is a large skylight. And we're exploring right now with the city the idea of using that skylight for natural ventilation as well as smoke evacuation as required by the code for the atrium. The upper floor is largely offices and a boardroom, and there are a couple classrooms to the north on the east side. And then, as Dodi spoke, we have the roof terrace, which will largely be used by staff, but they will use it as an opportunity for some teaching of biology. And then on the upper roof, on the lower roof, we do have a little bit of mechanical for the west side of the project with screening. And then on the upper roof, we have some mechanical for the east wing of the project that we will also provide screening for. Quickly showing you the section through the theater with the tension grid above. Orchestra room is what pops up. You'll notice in some of the renderings later on to get the added height for the music performance needs. The theater will have a retractable seating system, so it's flexible use. And then the gallery opens onto the student plaza and connects to the TMAC with the parking below and the stagecraft off the north side. This is cut the other direction, so 38th is to the left. So as we slope back to the west, we get the daylight art studio. We are able to build some of the below grade parking underneath the existing surface parking lot and create that plaza. And then we have the classrooms and offices to the west, to the east of the atrium, and the theater to the west. One thing I want to point out, we actually sent the wrong diagram. On the upper floor, we have set back the window wall. As you guys all recall, we're right on our property lines here and have very limited flexibility, but we did start to pull back the window wall on the upper floor to give some modulation. And this is just showing some context. We already talked about Kirkland Crossing, but it just puts into context the new zoning, where while this building may seem large, it's actually, given the direction of the zoning, it's not that large and is relatively small relative to Kirkland Crossing across the street. The other thing is the street, Kirkland Crossing is right on the street. We are set back from the street and are down almost a full story off of the street, which helps reduce the apparent scale. Our material palette is building on really the ethos of the school, which wants to have a very contemporary, modern, clean look. We're building on compatibility with the TMAC, as you all remember. We're looking at a different profile, in this case, a standing seam, and we're gonna try to create some modulation and articulation from floor to floor by offsetting different modules of siding vertically. Within that, we have a window system that's similar but different to the TMAC. Still getting some articulation from the operable windows, but not necessarily mimicking the exact window pattern throughout. And part of that is not just the look of the building, but it's also an experience of the building. So when you're in these classrooms, you're going to get different experiential quality than you'll get room to room versus the TMAC, which had pretty much one window wall on each classroom. There's an accent panel, which will be potentially the aluminum plate or a gray through-colored cement panel. And then we'll look for accents within the signage, within the curtains for the theater, graphics, things that can kind of pick up more color, but also can change a little bit more over time. We have a very strong yellow accent on the TMAC, and didn't need to compete with that. Building elevations, I'll quickly go through these because I think the renderings probably show you more, but you can see we're trying to give some texture and some visual interest by being a little more playful with some of the windows and the staggering of elements vertically. On the upper floor, we've kind of articulated that upper floor with this window wall that's set back and creates kind of a shadow box. Again, we're quite constrained with how we give articulation, so the being up against the property line, so we started to pull back that upper story. And then we pull it back on the lower level at the entry to create a nice, generous cover to that first floor entry. On the south facade, this is the facade opening up to the plaza. The ground level is largely glass to really create kind of a sense of activity inside and out with some large doors that start to open up to the TMAC. The atrium is carved back and floor-to-ceiling glass. And then the guided study hall, we have a substantial amount of glass as well. Yet we also wanted to hold the building together, so the metal siding starts to wrap and kind of grab onto the building, and it morphs as you move around the building, but also holds together as one complete building. The north elevation, we have the articulation of the atrium separating the two sides of the building and giving some modulation there. And you can see we now have this ramp that moves up to the atrium and allows pedestrians again to move around the building without crossing the parking entrance below the atrium. We worked really hard to kind of give this facade a lot of visual interest and articulation, but also really make a pretty interesting place to experience it from the inside, which is very important to us. So the music room has this really generous window wall that's pretty substantial and will have great views, but also really be a window into the activity going on inside. At the lower level at grade, we have the stagecraft shop, which will have generous windows to see the activity and bring daylight into that, along with a canopy that gives some weather protection to that window and that sidewalk. Oh, and then the west facade. As you recall from the early massing studies, we carved out and created this nice generous window wall. So really this theater is kind of is adaptable, so they can it can be used for assemblies. It can be used for a different kind of performance that's more open to the exterior. But when it's closed, they'll have blackout curtains, which on the outside will have a color. Again, to give you some sense of color into the inside. Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to. What looks like brick, is that where you're saying is the concrete?
This is the concrete, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So is it a pattern concrete?
It will have form joints.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just in the rendering, it looks modeled. So
I think when it was converted to PDF, I think the texture got a little bit exaggerated.
It's just a poche.
Yeah.
Concrete.
We should get to the renderings here. And Scott, you can tell me if I'm going way too slowly here. This is a bird's eye view of the project. We're doing all right. Again, you can see the landscape plaza. You can see the inset windows at the upper floor. Student plaza with a carve out at the atrium. And this is from the northwest. The screen's really dark. You might have a better view of it on the screen back behind me. You can see the garage entry, the pedestrian movement around it, the large windows at the music studio, and then the play court and the connections to the different classrooms, and how the building steps on this west portion.
That's your question, Jeff. So
yep.
The north, south, east, west is probably a little we never quite get that right. So when we are asked to look at the northwest corner, that's...
Yeah, Scott and I went on circles on this one. When I first submitted it, I labeled every elevation southwest, northwest,
yeah.
And it seemed too confusing. So this elevation, we're calling the north elevation.
Okay.
This elevation, we're calling the west elevation. So this is the northwest corner.
Got it.
So this is a current look from Northeast Place. This is the proposed with the articulated upper floor set back, again, creating some playful movement within the fenestration, creating a new entry plaza and new front porch to the campus. Again, it's still shared with these offices, so there's still access for the businesses. But really replacing a lot of asphalt with some greenery and some more pedestrian-friendly environment. Giving modulation and articulation to the building, very generous windows, so this really will give the public a kind of glimpse into the activity of the campus, of the school, and really start to kind of give a more presence for Eastside Prep to the public. I think I covered all these points, so I'll keep. This is a view again from the sidewalk on Northeast 38th Place, but more to the north. So this will be the way you access the garage, which you can see here, the drive access, and then the new walkway up to the plaza. You can again see the setback of the windows on the upper story and the new landscaping in front of the building. You can also see the generous windows at the music room. Really expanding the landscaping on the site, on the campus. We Ooh, this is really dark screen. So this is a view from the fire access lane. That's the play court and TMAC in the distance. And this is the proposed view. You can see the expansive transparency and glazing at the atrium. You even get a sense of the daylight coming through the skylight.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How many of these trees that you're showing in this picture are the existing ones?
Well, we can show you here. This is winter. Any trees right around our building are not going to survive the excavation and shoring process. So those are all new. We're not obviously
so
touching.
The majority of these trees are leaving.
These trees in the foreground, we're obviously not touching this property here. So yes, the trees on the corner over here are being replaced. And if you remember from Dodie's plan, there's some new trees being proposed. And then we also do have some bulbs of landscaping here.
Showing this, though, you're showing a pretty sizable tree right up against the building. Is that existing, or is that just
That's the existing tree that will have to be replaced.
Okay, and the one in front here?
This is staying, yeah. Okay. This is on the other parcel. And we actually, I think, have some trees. Do we have a couple trees? We have a couple trees in this landscape area here. And we have a couple of ginkgos here. Yeah. It's one of those tricky things with rendering and how much do we cover up the building. But this is an existing tree and, you know, on the neighboring property. You can see the very expansive glass at the music room and the articulation of the mass. The stage is here, so we're really trying to kind of create some visual interest and transparency around that element. Garage entrance is de-emphasized, kind of pushed under the atrium. Again, fenestration and modulation through the building mass and the windows. And then from the play court, this is the west elevation, TMAC on the right. And you can see the generous glazing that's at the theater level and also the art classrooms below and then up above at the guided study hall and the hallway to the practice rooms. So you have a lot of kind of sense of activity within, not to mention just the daylighting factor on the inside. And the carve-out creates nice weather protection around this lower level of glazing and reduces the scale of the mass. Creating covered walkway. Again, we have connections, both the stairs and kind of a meandering ramp pathway that gets you up to the LPC. Improving the accessibility and connectivity. This is a view from the TMAC of this project site. And again, the kind of expanded and adapted student plaza, really trying to create a place of gathering and placemaking. Generous windows where you can see into the inside, and this is going to be a nano wall that can open up at certain times, and really trying to make this kind of the heart of the campus. Again, set back generously, that provides rain protection, but also some sun protection and articulation, and improves the connection between inside and outside. And we'll end on this slide. This is taken from the overpass of Lake Washington Boulevard over 520. And you can see the new structure here. Leave anything out?
All right. Does the TMAC actually look like that with those colors, the white?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are aluminum panels. Aluminum tends to look white in certain light, for sure. So open it up for questions or
yeah, questions from the board. Does anyone want to start?
Oh, I have one, just one. On your siding, is it a blend of three colors or is it a single gray?
Single gray,
okay.
the vertical.
Right, okay.
No, yeah, so what we were saying, our goal is for it to be zinc,
okay.
If budget allows, but it'll be that kind of charcoal, graphite, zinc tone.
So when it says charcoal, graphite, zinc, it's all expressing one.
One, yeah, and then the module will shift and change floor to floor. Yeah.
And then you're showing a lot of patterns, you know, of those zinc panels. Are those varying widths of those vertical lines, are those kind of set? Are those decided? What are those widths and
yeah,
how deep are the seams?
They'll be, I think the standard depths or standard widths are 12 and 16 inches. Mm-hmm. So we'll use a combination of those, and the depth is an inch to an inch and a half, depending on the final product we'll use.
So this detail then is suggesting many more widths than what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's an abstraction for sure. I don't know if we'd be able to get. I mean, the standards are usually 12 and 16. After that, it becomes custom.
This was looking really
good. I know. But that's not finalized. We could.
Those panels are the colors selected. I thought I was still looking for the figure here. There was some reference of a wood tone somewhere. Is that?
So we're saying that we're going to look at. Right now, we're exploring the idea of potentially doing wood soffits if we have the budget at that main level. Although, you know, truthfully, a drywall soffit is not bad just given the reflectivity of light. But it is something we're looking at as an option.
What were the soffits at TMAC?
They were drywall, and they were part of that yellow.
Oh.
Graphic, so they became
not the same yellow.
They were the same color. Yeah.
It looks like you're just right smacked up against the height limit.
We are, although we're just looking at each other. We do have the ability to raise the parapet.
Okay.
Scott was just mentioning before
the ABE calc page or sheet. I see. I mean, it looks like the red. It's our page,
yeah.
5 or 21. I'm not sure which one you go by. So it's got the red outlines. That's the existing buildings, essentially the property lines.
Right.
And then there's two sets of lines outside of that don't obey the red. How does that work? What are those?
You remember that? There's this offset.
I guess my point, too, is that there. Before it gets too far down the road, just double, triple check it because the AB calc is not done correctly according to at least Kirkland rules that I'm familiar with. It should be the existing grades, not the finished grades, and midpoints, not the average of corner points that establish that line segment. So just, you know, if it comes down to inches,
okay,
it's got to
yeah.
be. Either that or do the least rectangle box method, which sometimes helps and sometimes doesn't.
Right.
But I'd hate to see it
no, it's good.
Start to have to shrink.
Right.
And the lot coverage, again, that's the whole...
It's the whole PUD is the way the city
okay.
has us look at it.
And put it, you get credit for all that front, the east
correct.
New landscape.
Yeah,
area
we're... Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I had question-wise.
What was the depth of those upper floor windows?
Say that again?
The depth of those upper floor windows, you said that those were recessed back?
2 feet, yeah.
2 feet?
Yeah, we're very tight up there, you can see. We rearranged some of the offices to try to squeeze that 2 feet out recently.
Yeah. And what are the hours of the campus typically 8 to 3? Are there night classes or activities? You know, is there anyone on campus usually in the evenings?
The school is getting pretty active. So 8 to 8 o'clock at night would be enough young time.
Yeah. Sure.
And 7:30 in the morning is when traffic starts coming.
So Jeff, the plans then haven't caught up to the recess.
Oh, your packet. Yeah, I apologize. Your packet. We missed that. That was also then this section was also inaccurate because that was a kind of a late change after some discussions.
Okay, so it's the whole length then.
It is the whole length setback. Yeah.
So the 80% lot coverage, how do you achieve? I mean, the building's right at the boundaries of the lot.
So the lot coverage is based on the whole planned unit development.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot coverage of our parcel. It's the lot coverage of the whole PUD. So
you mean all five, your contribution?
So you see this graphic here that he's looking at? That graphic, yeah. That's the whole PUD, and that's how lot coverage is calculated by the city.
It's the whole Lindbrook office park. Historic boundaries of that.
But your overall, it must correspond to 80%. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. The parking, etc., is a separate lot, or they're separately figured. And each lot is 100%. Is that right?
So each parcel can be 100% developed. Okay. Yes, the combined off open space
doesn't figure here.
Yeah, and in fact, I don't remember exactly offhand, but because we replaced all that surface parking, we actually did a pretty good job of improving the situation.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then were there other ginkgos on site? Or were these going to be new, introduced to the lot and to the project? Okay. Could you come up to the microphone, please? Thank you.
Yeah, the ginkgos are a new species. We've worked with our arborists to pick some species they felt were really durable.
I think they record it.
Oh, I see. Okay. So we worked with the arborists who did the tree retention plan to pick species that were, you know, really tough urban for the urban setting, you know, and the ginkgos are really strong. They're a cultivar of ginkgo that's non-fertile. I don't know if you've ever been in New York when the ginkgos are blooming, but it is a stench. So you really want you want the other ones. And so but they are a new species. The species we're using that's in common with the TMAC is the Parodia. And those form some groves around the south side of the building. Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah. I just thought I went to college on a campus where they put in all non-fertile ginkgos, and life finds a way, and not just a few, but all of them changed sex to fertile, and so all of them were very fragrant, and like the street trees and like the whole campus just reeked. So.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not.
I just always think of that when I hear ginkgos now. I'm like, be careful. Any other questions from the board? All right, any comments from the audience on the project? Seeing none, we can move into deliberation. Anyone have comments to start? Scott, thoughts on the ginkgos?
Sure. Well, I had comments on quite a bit.
Scott, is your microphone turned on?
Thank you. It's not. Okay, I will start with the landscaping. Okay, just looking at the palette to begin with, there's a strong lack of evergreen. And one of the problems with this project in general, especially as we see the views from 405, we have a long winter season. The building is very tall. The building is very bleak. And I think they need to rethink some of the landscape areas. And I made the comment on the first building that we needed some tall, more column-like trees, and that didn't really happen. And it is bleak. I mean, the views from that you see of the complex need to be broken up. And I like the ginkgo trees. I don't think we have the problem in this area with the stench that you know, you guys might have, because I've never really experienced it here in the Northwest. And I think our wet spring probably does more to alleviate that. So I like the ginkgos as a selection. I think that several of the views that I saw in here, and one of the things that we really need to look at, I think our perspectives next time it comes, we need to turn off the trees, because these trees are never going to, are not going to be this size. So we're going to, I mean, this is a 10-year down the road that those trees would actually break the building up like this. So they're going to be, you know, even if they put a 3-inch caliper tree in there, it's not going to cover the first floor. And that's why I was asking, too, which ones are existing, because I think that we're going to be looking at a very bleak, dark, kind of ominous building that doesn't match. And I was not for trying to match the current complex, because it's very dated. But I think we need to bring in some elements to make it not stand out so much with the surrounding environment. And that includes Kirkland Commons, or just these other buildings that have been newer buildings been built. Because obviously we don't want it to look, have the mutual materials look of the existing buildings or the La Quinta, because it's not good. But with that said, I think that, and I'll go on to that, but also, landscape-wise, I'm looking at the student plaza. It looks like a skateboard park. There's no greenery. And seeing that the view from 405 just really reiterated that, there needs to be something to break that up.
Can anything grow in there?
Yes. You can. There are a lot of plant material, you know, even a tree. So I think you need to look at, just to be nice to even your students, something to break that up, and more columnar. I mean, we've picked a ginkgo, which is not that fast growing. It does have some height to it, but it is a wide growing tree too. I think you need something to break this building up, and something maybe even closer to the building, and something evergreen. That being said, okay, my opinion on that quantity of metal siding, I think there's too much. I know it's to be a contemporary building. I think it needs to be broken up a little bit more. I mean, we need a bottom, a midsection, a top. I mean, if they're not going to stare it back, I think it needs to be broken up a little bit more. I'm not saying I don't like the metal siding, but I think, especially, you know, what we were talking about earlier about, you know, well, what are the lines in it? Is it incredibly regular? Well, if it is, that's going to lead this building to look even more, you know, bleak. We are looking at a very flat building, too. And so the areas that, you know, and a very gray building with the colors that have been picked, and I think we should talk about the palette of colors, and especially in the next meeting with, okay, what do the siding with samples, with the colors look like? So in the next meeting, we should probably have those colors, because I'm scared that the colors are going to blend together, and it's going to, on a gray day, with all the gray concrete, and that it's going to be very prison-like looking. I think we have a lack of articulation on the south element. We have the large blank wall on the north elevation. On the west elevation, we have, it's very flat with the lack of articulation, even in the siding. And then the blending of the surrounding buildings. I think the view from the play court, we have a very strong lack of greenery or anything that can in the future break up the building. And then also from the, you know, the 405 view, I think we're just going to be seeing straight buildings. I think that's about it for me.
Dave?
Thank you, Scott, for articulating a lot of things that I was uncomfortable with about the building. It's a fascinating project, a lot of neat things going for it. But the final presentation, I think, needs more help. And I was struggling with the east face, which is pretty important for the rest of the city. And the panels, to me, and I'd be interested in other people's opinions, I think the east face needs more. It's got the cutout at the bottom where the entry occurs, and then the window set back, at the top set back, and that probably helps. And then the panels, to me, don't add to a modulation or breakup. There's a pattern which the architect says is playful, and that may be the case, but to me, it doesn't add to either a vertical or horizontal modulation. I'm sort of left uneasy about it, and it might work out just fine, but I'm just uneasy about it. And then it's still a lot of blank walls everywhere. The nice features are the way the let's see. The atrium, the way that's set back, and there's some nice features in the garage entry. There's some things that have been changed that I think are an improvement.
Susan?
Well, I'm probably less bothered by the type of building that it is. The interior space is probably really well designed, and I think it's a very much internally focused building. It's about the school program. And in some ways, you know, turning its back on what's outside of it, because what's outside of it, to be honest, isn't great. It's a suburban office park on, you know, a couple sides. 38th Street hasn't been developed, and the La Quinta side is pretty grim. So I understand that there's not a lot to open up to. So, yeah, I grant that to it. I think it's a great exercise in composition in terms of the window pattern, the breakup, the playful nature of it. I think that, you know, my first set of views, I thought that I was really excited about the siding pattern as a way to almost give it let it blend in with the trees all around. You know, I think this is a wooded site, unfortunately, now less and less so as these buildings get built. When I look at the view from 405, I actually feel like this building settles in a little better than the T-Mac does. Part of it is because it's behind a larger building and it's not quite so tall, and it breaks down to the southeast, I guess. So I look at that and I think, oh, maybe it will just sort of tuck in with the trees. But as we noted, there aren't that many trees to tuck into. So. But that side doesn't bother me. I think it's appropriate for the highway view, to be honest. I think in general, all the sides, I'm not, I kind of like the south, even though it has a lot of blank wall to it. I think it's the south. The one that,
south, I think, is the atrium side, or the
so T-Mac I thought the side. South was nice. I thought the north is pretty nice. I actually like the sides best that have some blank wall combined with a more articulated wall.
Mm-hmm.
The project east, I think, could, even though it's the public side and it, I'm sure they're trying to present more interest to the street. It actually strikes me as being a little busy in comparison to the others. So that was my thought. I think it's just for a school. I wasn't fond of the yellow, but I think for a school, I mean, I understand that there's going to be a lot of life inside of it, and that's probably going to bring the color to the building, but
are we allowing though? Because it's a school. If this were another building, and the thing is, to be fair to the cities, you know, the citizens of Kirkland, we have to rate it the same as every other project. We can't say because it's a school. And you know what? There are beautiful views of this, but how is the public going to see it when they're driving by? And that's what we have to look at.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, especially knowing that this very interesting metal pattern really isn't going to be as depicted, I think we need more. It needs to be enlivened a bit. I think the black and white windows with the gray, I mean, there could be that can be color, if you will. But when you look at the views, it's just not that apparent. So, I don't know.
See, and samples will help because, I mean, right now I'm not seeing, you know, kind of a base, a mid, a top. I do like this in the view that we're looking at right now. The windows at the top are great. I mean, that breaks the building up from this viewpoint for me. I just wish that the lower floor, the base of it, had more.
I don't feel that as strongly about the base, middle, and top, but when you look at, say, the west and south elevations, those are the ones I actually thought were more successful. Do you feel like that they've achieved it there with the transparency at the bottom and the top and then the middle?
Can you put that up on the screen for us?
Oh, which one?
The south elevation?
Yeah, maybe just the elevation. I mean, it's very much an elevation building. You know, a lot of times they're not, but because it's so taut, such a taut skin, I think that it is it.
Yeah, I think you should keep in mind, this is 12 feet of almost pure glazing. And actually on the east elevation, this is 12 feet of glazing at the music room and at the offices as well. There's substantial transparency on the ground floor. And I recognize that our renderings maybe don't show that, but as well as they could, but there is substantial. Those are tall windows.
And what is the width of the atrium space between the two buildings?
It's, I think, 18, 20 feet. We did want to respond to some of these landscaping comments.
We are. We do have, at the perimeter, like along the street, there are, and around the outside of the sport court, there are. I don't even know how many, but many, mature conifers. So from the outside of the site.
Can you pull up Google Maps so we can see that from a nice little aerial of what's there now?
Along this street, they're alternating a row of alternating mature maples and big conifers. So from the street view, you get, you know, it's very well screened. Along the back side of the property, in addition, there's a row of mature conifers. And over in this part of campus, there are mature conifers that we've preserved. Within this section, you know, I think the excavation precludes us keeping some of the existing trees. And I think one of the things we could do next time is bring, you know, what kind of height you could expect out of this tree in 5 years and 20 years, you know, so that you can see what would happen. This site plan doesn't show all the trees that we're planting. We have a grove of medium-sized maples that are in this area. We have half a dozen maples over here, a couple ginkgos, a bunch of dogwood, some columnar conifers, and then some mid-sized deciduous trees in here. We're limited because this area is all over structure, so we have limited soil depth. Particularly at this end, we're not able to really plant very big trees.
I will say my comments generally on that side is not as much as the side.
This side. Well, you know, I mean, we have, this is a space where I think the reason you don't see a lot of planting is that we've had to devote a lot of space to just getting accessible ramps. I mean, this is a ramp, this is a ramp, this is a ramp, this is a ramp, and to keep the circulation, you know, to achieve those circulation goals, we've had to devote a fair bit of space to paving.
I know, there's a lot of paving, and
yeah,
it's visible,
yeah,
and I think that there are other ways, you know, on the more perimeter aspects of that to soften it so that the view from the public is not going to look like so much paving.
Well, I'm not sure where we're talking about the view from the public. For instance, along this whole property boundary, there's a mass wall of evergreen. So where is the view that can, I mean, I'd like to know where the view is that is a concern.
You know, the TMEC building is very visible from, you know, from public standpoints. It is a very visible building.
Uh-huh.
So that is, you know, we're looking right directly at the building, and we're looking right directly at your common area. So
you are looking during winter as well. So
well, that's
these are huge.
My comments were, yeah, we should have some more evergreen, columnar style.
Right.
That, so in the middle of winter, we have something that is a little softer looking.
Right. You requested those last time, and they are planted. They're just not.
Well, you know, I was
the
looking,
screen's really bad there, right there.
You know, there are, I talked to our arborist about planting incense cedar, which is a nice, it's 100 feet tall and doesn't have a huge spread, which, you know, makes it ideal for that goal. And they just said it's not thriving here. The native conifers like Doug fir and Western red cedar have such a wide spread of canopy that it's difficult in some of these small spaces to plant them.
Okay.
So we're using hinoki cypress, which are mid-sized and columnar.
But there are, you have listed three trees. The tree palette is huge. You can do weeping Alaskan cedar. And yes, the western red cedar and the incense cedar, our environment has changed. We don't get the cold winters that... Yes, the trees are not thriving.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a, you know, weeping cedrus of Lebanon. You can do, the plant palette is huge. You can research trees that will grow more column-like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying that there's only a few trees, that's not true.
Well, I had not considered the weeping trees, and I think what we should do is work with our arborist to find some species that might fit that bill.
See, looking at this picture, and I'm not trying to challenge you, and part of this right now is this is our deliberation period,
uh-huh,
where it's not our interaction period really right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
and, you know, but what I am saying in this, and I know you want to answer back when we're talking,
Oh, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do.
But it is to look at this view of these buildings and within a maybe a shorter period of time, get something that can soften the buildings. And this is also to help you because we're looking at some blank walls here that were considered, you know, were put in the position of protecting, you know, the citizens of Kirkland on why do these blank walls happen? And I'm looking at the TMAC building and I'm upset that I didn't push harder for something to break that wall up.
Okay.
So Scott, where do you feel like the trees should be?
I think that you could cut out very small portions of the concrete on this side of and screen it a little bit. And I'm not saying, oh, you got to take out, you know, the flow in the commons. I just think that knowing from designing for these situations, there are ways to provide some kind of screening that will grow up, and it doesn't have to be a native Doug fir or a Western red cedar. You can get a columnar style tree, even a hornbeam that will grow, is deciduous, but will be very dense in foliage and provide some type of height. And you know what? And the ginkgos that they're talking about, really, look at those trees in the foreground in front of the office building. Look how long those have been there, and they're still only up to the third floor. You're looking at, you know, five floors here of building. So even when they say, oh, well, you know, in 10 years, probably in 10 years, it's not going to quite be what they're going to come back with as, because you have a harsh environment here.
I guess that's my point, though, is that I'm not sure that the trees we're talking about will really mitigate. But when the building on the right is done, so we're talking about the building on the left, and I'm not sure.
I just think that we can have something in front of that, all the concrete in between the two buildings, that it's not going to be so looking like a skateboard park. And I think it's a very inexpensive fix. Then,
as an architect, I would say, can we have a building that looks good without trees in front of it? And I think we can. I think that, I mean, this is the perfect slide that says there may be some things about the structure and the building itself that we can address that will let it be, you know, fully visible from Bellevue Way overpass with, you know, deciduous trees only. I agree with Susan that this is, and I applaud the applicant. I think the from the inside, the program and the way everything's working and some of the spaces are really, really well done. I'm just like, wow, this is going to be a really cool building. Having said that, then it has to translate as well to be a cool building outside for, as Scott says, for the public and for everybody else. I think the east elevation, the one on 38th, is the one that still bothers me, as it does everybody else. And I understand that the program wants to just get every ounce of square footage out of it, which is understandable. The other three elevations, I'm not so troubled by in general. Other than I think the vertical metal siding is going to be the wrong color, the wrong hue, whatever, that will be just endless. And the one piece of its use that I think strikes me is that, and I'll see if I can get these corners correct. So if that's the east, that must be the northeast corner,
yep,
which would be the start of the ramp up from the parking area. That corner, the one on the other side of the east end, other than the void at the entry, there's, well, I'm on page, let's see, 45 and, well, our 45 and 44, their page is 28 and 29. So the panels at those corners are just solid, solid, solid. And if I understand it correctly, those panels have to, at the base of the panel has to be some Z flash that gets the water out over the panel below. And but it still forms this really just strong, stark vertical edge that defines this overall box that is this mass. If there's a way to soften that, or to maybe instead of solid at some of the corners, there's some windows that get to wrap around the corner or something. And I don't want to make it into a parfait with just sort of slice, 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 but somehow there's a way to soften the definition of these edges of the building that might help it. I do think this thing at nighttime, to the extent that the school is active and is lit up, is going to be really cool. I think it's going to just, you know, and again, Susan's mentioned the composition of it. I think the way that some of those interior lights are going to shine out, even on Northeast 38th Place, will be pretty cool. But I think that east facade is this, with the sun angle that we're looking at that one rendering right there, that is probably summertime at about 9 in the morning, this may not even be a legal sun angle for where we're looking at. That east facade's going to be in shade a huge amount of the time, and with fairly similar values to the materials and lack of hue, it's going to just be flat, 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 no matter what we get for the variations in the siding, the metal siding, and all of that. So I think...
Tim, can I...
Yes.
Just make one comment on that previous point. Yes. About the corner. At that lower corner at the music room...
Yes.
We actually tried to wrap the corner. We do have a column right here that has to be fireproofed and everything, so we did our best to actually make this really glazed corner. This, again, 12 feet high, and it goes back another 12 feet. I just wanted to point out we were looking at those, and it's just...
Does that column, does it go straight up, or do columns offset inside without screwing up the...
We were able to pull it off on the upper level where we're only carrying the roof.
Okay.
Other than that, our engineer wanted it right on that perimeter concrete wall.
Okay.
Sorry, I just wanted to point that out.
That's
that
fine.
We were looking to do what you were pointing out.
I mean, I know the other elevations we've cantilevered out and totally voided that bottom floor typically at the entrance, the main administrative entrance, and then on the south side or the play court side.
Oh,
you know, we've
like
got some nice... Yeah, we've got some nice cantilevers and things going on there, but just the, you know, when you look at even the elevations or the renderings, you see these real strong, just unending verticals that Scott's point about there is no, you know, there is no top or bottom, so to speak, from some of the elevations, and I think there could be at least a little bit of a gesture that there's, you know, that there isn't just, it's not just a topped 20-story building that we just clipped it off after four stories, but there is actually a termination to that uppermost floor. Stepping it back the 2 feet for the east glazing is a great first step, but do we still have to have that strong, solid corner there that, you know, that doesn't let us see that that's a different floor from the ones below? So, I like a lot of the things that are happening with... separating pedestrians and cars, and, you know, giving up that east courtyard front space for a nice landscaped meandering walk, little benches and all that, I think is working well. It's just that east facade's going to be a killer on a cloudy February day when it's bleak and we've got a gray building with, you know, minimal definition from color and material.
Okay. I think we've covered just about everything. I think I can echo some of the same sentiments. I will say I think the building has a lot of potential. Oh, gosh. I think the building has a lot of potential. There's a lot of strong points. I just think that we need some more refinement. The lack of color, I just feel like this is a performing arts building, you know, and there's kind of a lack of playfulness there. I'd like to see a little bit more variation in material. you know, especially, you know, if we're talking there's really only two widths of these seams, you know, and they aren't all that deep, I'm afraid that it's going to feel a lot more stark and blank than it seems right here. So I'd like to see, you know, an introduction of color or maybe some assurances that they can get more variance in their patterning for these zinc panels, you know, something just to kind of add to some of the liveliness of the building. Otherwise, you know, as everyone's stated, I'm afraid it'll feel very static. I'd like to see some lighting plans, you know, because zinc, you know, it's a handsome material, but it can be dark, especially at night. If there's activities going till 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, a lot of nights, I'd like to see how it's lit at night. I think that plays off of the material in the atrium and with, you know, the tree, you know, and foliage canopies. You know, how is this going to be seen for most of the winter? You know, I think that's something we should kind of take, you know, take care to make sure that that's done right. And along with Scott talking about he'd like to see some plantings, you know, in that atrium space, I'd like to see some different material. You know, I think we called it a skateboard park, you know, because it was all concrete. You know, if kids are going to be sitting in that space studying when it's nice out, you know, if they're going to be sitting, I'd like to see some woods or just a little bit more like attention paid to some of the tactile, you know, materials that are going to be going into that space if it's going to be occupied a lot. You know, so just a little bit more refinement in that area. Yeah, my notes about warming it up a little bit, yeah, in that atrium area. I'd like to see the exterior reflect the interior a little bit more. I think we've all kind of hitting at it. I really appreciated the presentation on what's happening on the inside. There's a lot of thought there, and I'd like to see a little bit more of it reflected, you know, on the exterior. I think that will help lighten it up, you know, and really kind of show that playfulness. You know, Tim was concerned about this corner, you know, with the panels going all the way up. If they pulled that corner back on the top floor, well, show that, you know, something different's happening in that corner at the upper level. You know, put some glazing there, you know, or spandrel glass or just a different material. That'll help differentiate that upper floor corner from the rest of the building, and then we get what Dave was looking for with the modulation, the vertical modulation. Maybe some different pattern. If we can't get very, very much variance with the seam spacing, maybe try some different options for the patterns of the panels, you know. Dave doesn't think that it gives much horizontal modulation. I tend to agree with him. Right now, it just kind of creates a field, almost just a checkerboard, and you read that as its own entity rather than breaking up, you know, the entity of the whole facade. So, you know, just a couple different options, you know, for the patterning of the panels, you know. So we, it may seem like I think we hit a lot, but I just think with, you know, tweaking some of the trees, some of the lighting and materials, and I think it, you know, maybe looking at colors and things a little bit more in the atrium space, I think will really kind of set it over the top. But I think the main primary elements are there to make it a really successful project.
Brad, can I clarify? You keep saying atrium. Do you mean the court, the plaza?
Yeah, that okay. Plaza. Yeah.
I forgot to mention too that we've had previous projects and applicants that have showed huge quantities of rooftop vegetation, and I know it's going to be up there. We don't see it in any of the renderings, and I think that would, you know, if we get those planter box trellis elements up there with some activity, I think that would be visible from Bellevue Way overpass. And if those are, to the extent that they're probably seasonal or maybe perennials, I don't know what would go in those.
Well, she, no, she they have, yeah, but they have, like, they're going to do the vines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that we don't, it's not on any of the, in the renderings, we would see that, and the sense that there's some activity up there will, I think, help.
Could we help some. Pull up before we? Could we pull up what is our page 47, and it's the sport court looking at the building.
Yeah.
I think from my uncomfortableness, this is where I'm the least comfortable. And where Tim was talking about the corner, okay, I'm looking at the far corner
that's a four-story wall of just exciting.
Behind that basketball standard, the one on the left. Yeah.
And it, you know, we have one window on, you know, the third floor. This is the view that, you know, is going to be seen from probably the most people that will look at this project, because it's going to be visible from 405. Mm-hmm. I love the first floor. I like the, you know, contemporary, the glass, the light color. I think that's highly successful. And even, you know, when you go to the left and you see the metal siding, but then that midsection added to the first section and then to the top. And I know that it's a statement wall, but it, to me, it plays off, you know, no one's going to see from 405 that first floor. They're going to see the middle floor and the top. So I think it would be successful if more attention was looked at this, and, you know, even if it was, you know, a siding change or something to make it not look just so four stories of metal siding.
That tree that's in the background there, which must be out at the street, that's existing.
That's actually at the corner of the LPC, so that will remain.
Okay. And that looks like it's, is that some sort of a cedar?
In the very far background?
Yeah.
It looks like a Doug fir or a pine.
But it's kind of got upward sloping, like a, anyway. So that looks fairly columnar for a big old conifer, correct?
But that's in the background. I mean, that's not
right. But is there something similar to that that goes where I mean, there's a whole bunch of planting areas here in the foreground.
Yeah, and you could do
something
easily,
can go in
do
there.
Do something there to.
Yeah, we didn't show them in the renderings. Sorry. You can see there's trees. There's six trees we didn't show in the rendering that are by these ramps and the stairs, and then we have two trees by the northwest corner.
Well, the tree that I think you see that will remain is right. How do you do this?
Maybe we should look at the site plan.
That's the one she said.
Yeah.
If you look on page 25, I think that we're looking at the big trees along Northeast 38th, which aren't really in the, you know, they didn't show them in the rendering to show a building to us, but I don't think we're seeing the full screening effect of the building from the pedestrian way. And I guess, you know, I understand everybody's concern. I feel like from my standpoint, I'm more concerned about the view from Northeast 38th and from our neighborhood as opposed to from the highway. And, but I understand that someone may look at this and say, I mean, I don't know if we've heard about the other building or not. How did you do that? Similar to what we've heard at the park and ride, but...
I think the other building probably was not as noticeable, but once you get them together, it could.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to look like a campus. I mean, I assume the dining hall is coming next.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anything else?
No, I think you summed it up pretty well, Brad.
think if I saw a sample of this siding that we're so focused on and could get a sense, okay, that's a 12-foot piece of it or a, you know, 13-foot piece of it, and how do they join and how do they turn the corner? Is it just a simple, you know, piece of 90-degree edge metal that just rivets on, or, you know, how does that all happen? Because those are the kind of things that you do see when you're a pedestrian walking around or standing on 38th as you walk by. Those kind of things, I think, will.
Yeah, I trust the architect to detail it all well. I think it's just, you know, gray is fairly safe and easy. Other colors are more challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be careful what we ask for, but we've also just come through the grayest winter in memory. And so,
you know, a lot can be done with contrast.
That's
it doesn't
said,
have to be color.
That's why I said I think, you know, the black and white window in the gray field has potential. It's just in the renderings, it's not distinct. It's not popping. And it could be that there's more interest there than what we're seeing.
So then, I guess looking at the sheet that we've got, mm-hmm. you know, general massing, do we think that that's the problem? Is there an issue there? Are we okay with that? And we just want to find modulation through the materials and patterning? Or do we think that
think
some of the massing
fine.
Needs
and,
to change?
And you know what? You don't want to diminish. It's a school. You don't want to diminish that. And I'm not saying, I think the buildings look nice. I think more effort has to be made in dressing the building so that it is presentable.
Right.
So massing line.
But the second bullet was my where I put all my comments.
Mm-hmm.
I think the massing is fine for me because it again it works real well internally, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the pedestrian access to the plaza, you know, which was page 32 or page 48. That's where I think, you know, some of the additional material needs to come in. You know, I don't know, some wood or some, you know, different stamps
or
paving. Yeah,
that
a little
doesn't
bit
make
of
it look like the big gray concrete area, because I don't think we would allow that on another project.
And it could just be the way it's rendered right now. I mean, even the handrails are the same color as the concrete right now. So I'd like to see some more development, you know, of that next time. So
I mean, it is internal to the project, but at the same time, it does, you know, between the plaza. I mean, how do people feel about the plaza facing Northeast 38 over the parking?
That's
less bothersome.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a lot of greenery, and I think there is interest in it. It's broken up.
Yeah. I mean, kids will trample things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll walk wherever they want, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I do think that the open spaces, you know, I don't know. I like the play between the two buildings. I like that they have seating areas and stairs, you know. It's just the material. So I do think that the landscaping and the open space was adequate there. Maybe the, you know, the choice of trees and greenery. I would like to see lighting, you know, in some of these spaces and how that works.
To the extent that it's on the northeast side of a tall building, though, it may not, the students may say, this is not where I want to be. They're going to go down to the south side, southwest side.
Yeah.
Where it's sunnier, warmer, brighter, rather than, you know, on that other side. But it's better than having unending parking from north to 38th as it drops off to the building face. So that works well.
So building colors, materials, details, I think we hit two.
I was going to say back to the connection northeast 30th place. Place. We went through this on the other building because of the grade. There's a fairly minimal pedestrian walkway striped across the parking down there from the sidewalk. I don't know. I think it would be nice if there was a stronger connection from the sidewalk down to this plaza. They would have to lose parking to do it.
depending on, it sounds like there's not a lot of students that arrive as pedestrians.
Yeah, I was going to say, where, if they're dropped off on the backside, is there a lot of school bus activity? Where do they drop, get dropped off? Do they walk across? It's all on the backside.
I mean, I see people, I see the occasional person walking over from the park and ride, but it's very seldom.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then probably also being a school, they're probably trying to discourage a heck of a lot of pedestrian traffic through the...
Yeah. Well, Scott,
I think if we had a street front building, it would be a different situation, mm-hmm. but we still have an office park building. So.
Did we answer all your questions? You need anything else from us on this?
No, I think going through the checklist, discussion list at the very end was nice. It helped you kind of...
Is there anything specific? You know, I'm just like, I'd like to see a lighting plan. Is there anything specific the board would like to see next time? You know, I think we mentioned the materials.
Materials, colors. Yeah. I think, you know, we'd like to see some perspectives with no trees or foliage on them.
I'm thinking, both that and maybe the view from 38th with the trees.
Yeah.
So we can do both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think this siding material needs to be shown.
Correctly.
Yeah, because I do think that will make a big difference in how massive or not massive, you know, it seems.
It's kind of, I'm slightly concerned about that given the board's comments about the siding. Is it just the detailing of the siding that's going to resolve that? I mean, what's the level of concern the board has with that material choice in general?
Well,
is it...
So like I said, I found that was a strong piece that gave the building interest. It gave a very blocky building interest. And with that, it not being as depicted, I'm less excited about it. So I'm concerned that it won't, that it's going to go in the wrong direction when the actual siding is shown. From my standpoint, I feel like the east or the northeast 30th facade, I as I said, I think compositionally, to me, it's the least successful in terms of, you know, I like the other sides. I don't want it to turn into a blank wall, but I think the others that have more of a balance between blank and glaze, and the others also have more horizontal modulation to them, whereas mm-hmm. this one is pretty static top to bottom. That's my concern about the east side.
So can the east side be made successful without more modulation, or is it just a question of...
I actually think, I was less concerned on this side because I like the glazing, because my eye is drawn to the top. Where I think it's a little less successful is the first floor. And if they had some attention to the first floor or made it the articulation or the materials a little bit different, I think I might get that greater feeling of a bottom, a middle, and a top. Because mm-hmm. I think the top is very successful. I'd hate to see that changed. I really don't mind the midsection. I think the bottom's lost.
I think that's a good point.
But do you people have any concern with in the two middle levels, sort of there's sort of vertical strengthening panels and horizontal, and to me it's a confusing message.
I kind of like it. Sorry about that. That's interesting
that's
to
right.
me.
Yeah.
The bottom floor, it's like it's lost. It's like it's weak in just my eye. But and Dave, looking at it at a distance, I mean, I think we're looking at that as a, on a piece
Could
of
be.
Paper. I think looking at it at a distance, it will play very well, the two middle floors.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I will say that the band at the top floor, the floor line of the top floor, where so we have the windows, the glazing that's just continuous
mm-hmm.
all the way across. I think that the interplay of the vertical siding with those bands is a little awkward. I think that there's a detailing issue there. that causes those guys to just kind of,
I think you're right,
be unresolved. Yeah. So if we're asking for the center two floors to be strengthened as a horizontal element, mm-hmm. then there might be something to do at the top of that.
Okay.
That helps. And then I agree that the base, maybe again, something to strengthen that line, whether it be a recess or,
I mean, a lot of projects where we want to see a good strong base, that base element is much taller because it's often a retail space or something else. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's not. It's low. And so maybe if that band or that sort of horizontal thing we're looking at is up higher, that sort of makes it seem like that ground floor, at least on this east elevation, is a little bit, you know, more substantial as a base. That could do it.
So maybe there's a couple options for the siding pattern that will help the architect.
The wall in the corner for me that sort of just starts to become blank wall is that the one that you pointed out behind the basketball standard there. It's the, I guess it would be the north, project northwest corner.
Which is the one that Scott asked us to look at.
Yeah, which I actually think you're going to see that from the Bellevue Way overpass in, you know, that you'll just see that there's a big old building back there with one straight up that has no, I mean, it could keep on going forever the way it's, you know, constructed and treated. That's the only one that really.
I mean, in their plan, it's probably.
It's the.
It's the stair tower.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do the applicants have any questions from us? Are you guys clear on what we're looking for, what to bring for next time?
I think so, and we'll follow up with Scott to make sure we're on the same page. Any questions from you guys?
So we did a motion to continue. Do we need to pick a date?
We've got to pick a date.
How long do you think it would take you to turn something around?
We know Bob says 2 days. No.
Since the
2 weeks.
It's the machinery.
Monday the 3rd is open, correct? Of April the 3rd.
April 3rd or April 17th, and the question to the board then is, do you want materials in advance, or are you okay with them coming to the meeting?
Can you put it on the computer? Will we get a...
We could upload it, and we would want it probably by like the 27th, 28th, which is
8 days.
That's a week.
I'm okay at the meeting, and if there's any chance of getting it by even that Friday up to the website, which, I mean, that's where the public sees it just as quickly as we do, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Other than the mail packet.
Yeah, we should get it posted on that Monday.
So.
Scott, do you need to know tonight, or can we?
We have to continue to a specific meeting. But if you want to set the 3rd, if you think you can make the 3rd, then we can come to the meeting on the 3rd and continue it again. Or you just have to pick probably either the 3rd or the 17th of April.
Mm-hmm. Question we've got is about SEPA and if that can be separated.
We need to get SEPA wrapped up before the DRB can approve, can do the final approval.
I understand. That would ask the building permit.
The shoring.
The shoring. So if SEPA was issued ahead of this, we could take the 17th, otherwise we'd probably take the 3rd.
SEPA would be done, and I just haven't heard anything from Tanger. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's been in since the 17th.
Do you, if you think you can have materials for the 3rd, I'd say shoot for the 3rd. And even if it gets continued again while SEPA gets worked on, then we can come back on the 17th potentially for an approval. But if you're trying to be as expeditious as possible, then the third might be your best bet.
Okay.
I don't mean to flog the architects either.
We have to do it.
Just 10 days.
Well, we'd prefer to just
next week.
Bring it to the meeting if possible. Okay. I mean,
I'm fine with that.
That works.
Okay.
Yeah. And just a motion to continue to the third, and if need be, we can continue it again.
Right. Okay. I'll move to continue the design response conference to April 3rd.
Second.
All right, I have a motion to continue. Everyone in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. We'll continue at the next meeting on April 3rd. On the agenda, we have administrative report and DRB discussion for Kirkland Urban.
Okay, guys.
With Angela.
Because I do, and they will. But so I'm here with a modification, and if you all remember, modifications, we're just asking for your advice on them. This is for Kirkland Urban, and it's their site plan and Building A, and in your packets, you have comparisons of what was approved and what the changes are, and they're next to each other, so you easily compare. They're going to give a presentation, but just a couple things that staff wanted to bring up. I know that the corner of 6th and Central was something that you spent a lot of time talking about when you were reviewing this, and that's one of the key places. It's on the screen right now, and that's the proposed design. We'll compare it to what you approved. That was one of the key places that you talked about, and we just wanted to point out that if I remember correctly, you talked a lot about the glazing. There is less glazing, and also the canopy's been reduced. And this is true on the other corners too. We didn't spend as much time on the other corners, but we're still concerned about that. So those were just some things we wanted to point out initially, and I think the architect, Mindy's going to explain why they made those changes and why they feel they're necessary. But it does cause the building to look different, mm-hmm. So we wanted to.
Angela, this is a fitness center on this corner. Was it before? It wasn't an entry.
It was always was a fitness
center. Yeah. Okay. It's always been
there. Wasn't an entry there.
Way back when, okay. I mean, but
not you can you can see that both drawings are there, and they.
Yeah, went. I just wanted. Sure.
So yeah. That's really all I had to say, because I'm sure Mindy's going to go into detail about what the changes were, but.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm not Mindy.
Amen.
I enjoy. So Matt Porteous with Hewitt, and I'm going to walk through a couple items relative to the site plan around the central and sixth frontage, just to whet our appetite before we dive into the building elements proper. And I'll start just three pages here, three slides. I'll start with this, and it's two primary areas. One's talking about the circulation on the north side of the building, and one talking about the ADA access on this corner of the northwest corner of Building A. So this is what was in the plans previously. couple of the items that we have been reviewing over the months that since we've last been here are the circulation around the north side, it's the redundancy of the path system, the amount of hardscape versus landscape, trying to find a balance, some of the grading challenges that present themselves at this corner. Every site, even a large site, has its tight spot, and this is proving to be one of the tight spots on the site. So the challenges here that we are reviewing have to do with those items I just discussed. I'll look at a resolution to those challenges on the next page in a second. The ADA access over here, there was a path here and then also a path here. And I think this path was actually something we were exploring at the very sort of towards the end of the DRB process. There's a sort of redundancy in these path systems. And so, you know, that wasn't helping with the grade challenges through here and the sort of horizontal distance challenges through here. Overlaid on this is a sidewalk width in the public space that's required to be 10 feet wide. And in the previous DRB, or where we'd left it at the end of the DRB process, this was a pinch point that we knew we were going to need to develop. We had about 12 feet here from curb face to building face, which is really the face of the garage wall. Obviously, that gets a 10-foot planter and an 4-foot planter and an 8-foot sidewalk. So a little challenging here to meet the design guidelines at that point. This ramp on this side, because of the elevation delta between here and up at the upper level, really was pushing its nose into this space too far and compressing the space. It also was revealing the height of this wall and not allowing enough buffer to lower the height of the wall, sort of berm up against it. And as you can see through the trees and trying to get sort of a tree system on the street, you end up with a little bit of a forest walk here through the canopy. It makes it a little challenging, a little bit of a conflict. So the resolution to those items is a clarification and a simplification of this sidewalk path, maintaining that 10-foot clear width around the arc, simplifying this plaza that was there previously was actually sunken. It was a little lower, and there were some challenges to that for SEPTED or policing. So a little more clarity provides for an informal gathering spot, get a buffer separation between the units and the sidewalk, and buffer separation between the sidewalk and the road. Peeling the sidewalk away like this also helps us achieve a 5% maximum slope, because the road itself is actually over 5%, so we maintain an ADA path through here at 5%. And then simplification of the stair access, so actually don't have the unit access off of central, it's interior to the building, and that provides more visual buffer and landscape buffer for the units, better security for the units. So that's sort of one half of the equation. And then the other half, and I have an image of this, I'll forward the next slide here. So this talks about this grade change. The ramp that used to be here is now gone. We have more buffer on this side. We can berm up against it, signage opportunity, make this space unencumbered by the ramp that was coming here. Get people to this edge a little more cleanly. The ramp that was on this backside, you can see how there just wasn't much room to actually slide that ramp in, so we have landscape on top of that wall. Still maintaining a 12-foot width here, so we've spoken to Angela about, and others in the city about that, and I'll go back to the plan for a second. This slide here shows about a 75-foot area where it's an 8-foot wide sidewalk, and then it tapers to the required 10-foot width through here. And based on our discussions with the city and staff and the pedestrian counts along this edge, that was agreed to or looked upon favorably with the staff. And then to achieve the ADA access through here, because there's about a 7-foot grade change through here, is a ADA lift at that location. So that's really the sort of evolution of these two pieces of this frontage. So we can either pause there or go right into Austin's presentation on the building.
Since there's no longer access to the units, you know, on that north side, is there fencing along the terraces now, or does or do those terraces just kind of spill out into the landscaped area?
That's a good question. So grade-wise, this unit here is very similar to the grade that's on the sidewalk. And as the sidewalk slopes away, the units, you know, of course, the finished floor, the slab is flat. So there's quite a bit of grade change through here. We're hoping not to provide a lot of fencing along this edge and keep it more open and actually have the landscape, because we have that distance of landscape, allow that to be the buffer.
Yeah.
And so there's not fencing on this edge. It's also not fencing on this edge, on the 6th Avenue side, a little more porous. Now, there is sort of a traditional stoop quality on this side that's a more sort of expected knee-high or hip-high grade change along that edge. Mm-hmm. But at this point, that grade change starts to be up inwards of 5 or 6 feet. And so we have one intermediate wall in the landscape that provides that sort of terrace, so you don't have to have a fall protection.
Okay.
Is there any other accessible access point to this, like up here off of 6th?
There is, yeah, Susan. Just what is on the bottom of the page here, coming off of 6th, there's ADA access along the back, or along this side.
That brings really you into leads the center courtyard.
Leads you right into the center. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, through building E, there's ADA access through the building as part of the development of that building.
Can you get from E up to A?
There are in the main plaza, and it's been a long time since you've looked at that. There's an elevator, a grand stair, and there's elevators and escalators in that main plaza that bring you up to that upper level.
But you feel that you're required to provide this access point?
I think, you know, there's a planned bus stop here. And if you're coming across Fifth Street from the north, you want to get up to maybe this building, I think we're going to expect that there'd be some patrons that would want to have a more direct access there. I don't think it's a high number of them, but.
So that lift doesn't show in your rendering, does
it? It's in the.
Oh, there it is.
It's back here.
Okay.
So that's about a 6.5 foot grade delta there. And the hope is that this landscape bed actually becomes quite important in terms of helping to screen that. And it's visible but not sort of in your face at this intersection. And likely it would return to this elevation at the street edge.
Mm-hmm.
So it lessens its visual impact. And from the top, the way the detailing of the railing would be is that it would feel like a continuous railing up top as part of the guardrail system would just open up when the lift raises to the top.
Can you go back to the plan?
Sure.
So the actual curb line and everything at the corner, is that existing and where it is going to stay?
Yeah, one of the evolutions of this was that the curb line through about here was a little different than was out in previously, and so there's a slight adjustments that have happened here, but it's essentially where it is today. There's the curb line, and then a bike lane, and then the travel lanes.
We don't have any on-street parking at this point.
From 5th Avenue to 6th Avenue, correct, there's no on-street parking. From 4th to 5th, there is on-street parking.
Okay. And signage-wise, that sign at the corner, I mean, this all has to go through the sign ordinance and review and all that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it just a generic one that's going to say Kirkland Urban and Los Long, so there's corner visibility issues and all
that?
Are you
talking about this?
Not
this
that one, the one out
the one
of the corner. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The one in the planted in the landscape out there.
There's a sign package that Angela and the city has that's a 100-plus page document that starts to look at all the signs for the whole area. But you're right. This one is a low-slung sign. This is sort of a gateway sign. It's a combination of the city and the project development sign sort of married together, if you will. So it
says City of Kirkland?
It says City of Kirkland.
Yeah. Hopefully not Clarendon bold extended like everything is. But.
I'd say it's a little more modern.
Thank you.
Than that.
Hmm. Okay. Get our router out and a piece of cedar and make us a city sign. All right. Sorry about that.
Do we talk about this and then talk about the building, or do we talk about it all together?
Yeah, why don't you talk about this?
Yeah.
Questions from the audience? Mm-hmm. Seeing none.
These seem pretty straightforward. It seems to simplify things.
I don't think that losing access to, the terraced units is, such a huge deviation from, anything that we were reviewing as a design review board or stays in line with, the zoning codes for the building.
The only thing I'm going to throw in, the presentation from the corner, I think is a lot more concrete, it seems. Mm-hmm. Because the greenery really seemed to kind of, it just seemed like the corner was soft, and now we're going to have a very large, if it's like the front picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So are you looking at this building corner more?
The building corner in the the very front, the presentation. I mean, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying, maybe it's something we need to look at that, before, we were kind of, they talked about it being more of a kind of Boston Commons type of thing where we had these nice causeways. And I'm wondering if we're losing a little bit of that.
Well, I have to say, it is being maintained on 6th. I have to say, I was always concerned about that at this corner, that those townhouses related directly to the sidewalk may or may not be successful. I think having the landscape wrap the corner the way it's now shown as opposed to, it's a much more suburban corner now than it was previously with the plaza up close to it. But I'm not sure that it's, personally, it's not bought. The building corner is more of an issue for me than the landscape, I think.
I guess I'm real confused because if I'm reading the plan numbers correctly, right at that, the offset at the little window of the workout space, that's 5 feet higher than the floor level of the workout space, correct? From 81 down to 76?
Part of the calculation of the building height and the grading to achieve that building height averaging is that that corner needs to be maintained at elevation 81 achieve the proper building height averaging. So there's a couple critical points.
So that's what Joel got.
I'd say it's one of the factors. There's sort of several factors. There's a garage exhaust element there. There's some gas meters, not sort of at the corner, but around the bend. And so there's sort of a lot of activity, subterranean activity that's sort of pushing up on that.
So if the rendering from the corner, if that's 5 feet above the floor level where the workout machines are, and then you go up another X number of feet before you hit the glazing. So we're talking from 76 standing inside, there's not glazing until 84?
Yeah, the elevation of 81 would be kind of right below the glass line there.
Right.
And the landscape would slope up to that elevation. So right. There's a small curb height wall on this end growing to a little larger wall as you head around the bend on
I'm six. Talking the inside, floor level's at 76, correct?
Right, yeah.
So the sill of those windows right there
is higher than
7 feet off the floor? 6 feet?
That sill height would be closer to 6 feet off the floor, perhaps. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Austin can probably speak to more of the interior condition.
I didn't realize that.
Well, I think it wasn't.
No.
Is this, I know you're really good at calculating building height, man. this is not a zoning code height. This is a building code height.
It's building code. Okay.
So it's to maintain the building type.
The glazing at that corner for the workout space to me looks not as urban, and I don't know if that means those operable panels are operable.
I wonder if we're getting into talking about the building. I guess what it's pointing out is it's hard to evaluate the landscape plan because it has to do with significant change to the
Jumping back to Scott's point about it looks really, really, really open. That what if there's a big old signature tree in that little circular thing where all the stuff comes together
I think we, because before they were talking about, kind of extensive landscaping, but they just had vine maples, and that was a concern of mine that really you have a fairly weak tree. And I would love to actually see what trees now that they're proposing, because I think if you are making it more park-like, which now seems to be the presentation, I think that the plant material needs to be according to what changes you're making. Because before you were talking small, broken up spaces, you were going to have dwarf trees. Now you have a big kind of park-like area, and I want to see but my recommendation would be that if you're going to make it more park-like, it should be according.
At that point, we're over dirt. We're not over structure below, correct?
That's right. Okay. The property line...
We didn't go under the property line for parking.
No, the parking edge is this red line. Let's see.
I see it.
There. So we have soil depth, we have soil volume for trees, which is great. There's, we've been working with the city and city staff on tree selection on the interior of the project, and we're getting ready to have a meeting on the exterior of the project in a few weeks. We're going to walk through with Ed Powers and others about the trees that will be in the right-of-way, the trees that will be in the perceived sort of public area. And there are, so we're working through that with them right now. But I think you're right, Scott, in terms of scale. The scale of a vine maple won't
And it's not a good or bad thing. It's just that now that it's a, less walkways, it's more open.
And the building is not pedestrian-oriented.
Yeah, it's a different character now.
I like the fact that it's much more accessible, the sidewalk. We're all getting older.
The only question I have is, do these, in a public condition like this off the sidewalk, are these lifts durable?
I think the
ADA lifts.
Sort of speak for the owner for a second. They'll be required to maintain it and keep it up. So that would just be the.
Seems like kids would find it immediately attractive.
Up, down, up, down.
Should we move on to the building?
Sure.
Do we have anything else with landscape? Good?
What, before we go, what are you planning for that circle in the middle of the sidewalk?
Well, it would be landscape. It's about, there's a, what we're not seeing in the rest of the image here is sort of this development of the central plaza area. And there's a strong, I'll use this word, but I'm not a fan of it, sort of motif or theme of these circular planters that you might recall in the middle. And there's a sort of a recall or a tease of that here. And so, in fact, the tree selection here, and there could even be another one across the way and another one over here, that would recall these larger trees. And the sort of these circular trees through here would probably be a similar type that we're using in the internal street. And then in that circle would be a very similar detail as what's happening in the center area circle. So it would be lower material. There's a sign opportunity on the building that I think Austin would probably get into if we're naming the building itself. And that sign opportunity is here. So we did not particularly want to block that branding opportunity. And so I think that's up for discussion in terms of how that elevation looks from that corner and whether that sign placement is correct. But so we thought it would be a little lower material so it would not block the sign. And also we wanted to make sure that this, as the north side of this, didn't feel too heavy because of the light.
Thanks, Matt. Austin Bess here from Robert Thompson. Here tonight to talk about Building A and how it has evolved in the last 15 months. This is a letter that we wrote to Angela basically highlighting every nuance that has changed. But we'll just dive right in. This was what was previously presented. It looks pretty dark on this screen. And as you can see, holistically, we worked really hard to maintain the design intent. That said, there are changes specifically at this corner. I think there's going to be so few changes kind of in this zone here. The emphasis is going to be in this zone here. One thing I did want to comment before we move on is the concern about kind of those windows and the grade. And I think based on Matt's kind of design, I think it's really important to have a level surface that meets the building and that follows grade down. If we were to, you know, manipulate grade to have windows closer to the floor, you'd have kind of a pit condition against the building, and I don't think that would be very friendly to users and passersby. But speaking to the building itself, you know, again, at this corner, really tried to maintain the design intent of the overhanging canopy element. I think one of the most noticeable changes, if we flip back and forth, is a material change. And that material is still metal panel, but we changed the color. And the color was derived from the fact that it really comes down to the storefront. And in an effort to use one of the manufacturer's standard colors, we had a limited palette to choose from. The gray that we had illustrated previously was not one of the base colors. So we chose this color here, represented light bronze by Conier. And as a result, we wanted to kind of maintain that uniformity of color of the building. So we selected this metal color, cool metallic champagne. And we'll talk about materials a little later in the presentation. You'll notice that there is the depiction of windows is a little bit smaller. The proportions changed a little bit. And this is a result of interior design evolving over time, meeting market demands. And basically, there are things such as closets that hit the exterior wall that we can't have windows in front of, and bathrooms in certain areas. So that's going to be a recurring theme that we look at, that we're going to talk about as we flip through the rest of the images, is that, you know, interior design evolved to where the windows had to change. We're going to move on to this is what was previously presented at the western edge. This is what is illustrated now. I think one of the good changes is that we increased the level of glazing at the retail, and that was to provide prospective tenants a little bit more flexibility within that space there. We still have the corner balcony. One nuance is that it used to have a longer leg on the western edge and a short leg on the northern, and we flipped that so the shorter leg is on the western edge, and that, again, better fits with the interior design of the units.
I'm sorry. Can you do that again?
I can. Previously, we had a long edge of an L-shaped balcony facing west, and now we have the long edge of the L-shaped balcony facing north, and that was to better work with the interior design of the units. And I think one of the biggest changes is the limited size of the canopy at this corner. It's turned into an L as opposed to what was a little bit more pronounced. And one other minor change was removal of a kind of the metal element that you saw at the corner of 6th and Central. These were cost measures, to be perfectly honest, and we chose to keep the emphasis at 6th and Central and kind of maintain the level of detail at that corner. This is what was previously presented on the southern and kind of eastern facades facing this courtyard. And you can see, you know, primarily the most of the building is very much the same. You can see how the canopy kind of stops there. And then other nuances, I don't know if it's really worth getting into, but at each of the bays, the windows changed configurations. So the small one is on the outside and the big one is on the inside. I don't know if we really need to spend much time talking about that. We do want to emphasize that in the elevations, you could probably see it most, but this is the rendering which illustrates it the best, is that the elevator cab height got a little bit higher. And that is a result of you know, changing manufacturers through the design process, and their overrun was a little bit taller. Want to be very clear that this building is still 50 feet below what's allowed in this particular zone. Looking at this eastern facade, one minor change on each of these L's, it grew a little bit, and that is that's what was previously. You can see the growth of the L, and that is to better work with the structural system of the building itself. And I think that's a good change, is that those got a little bit more pronounced. The material change at the corner precipitated kind of a change to all the metal elements of the building to match. So the balconies are now that a color that's we're call oh, it's the manufacturer color is cool metallic champagne. And then the elements that separate the townhome facades are also in that color. As we look at the townhome facades previously and how they look today, there used to be a little bit of differentiation between these larger buildings, and we went ahead and unified them just for a little bit more consistency and uniformity of color in those facades. And then a very minor detail is that there used to be a continuous soldier course at the top of the building, but we were advised by waterproofing consultants to actually not have that, A, because of the brick coursing, and B, because this installation is going to be better executed in the field.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
On this, it looks like you added a wood material.
No, the wood material has always been a part of the... Uh-huh. You can see it in here on that previously. It's this wood material that's on this sample board here.
Okay.
It's,
no, don't worry about it.
Yeah, right here. And then a minor detail is instead of a custom fixture that was a little ambiguous during the last design review, we have chosen an actual product. The design intent is the same in that it'll throw light up and down the reveal, kind of bringing that lighting feature into the evening times. And then to Matt's point earlier, there's no there's no hard demarcation such as a fence, railing, or wall anymore along the townhome patios. Looking at the materials, this is what was previously presented back in December of 2015. As we flip back and forth, what we've really done is added this material here, and I need to actually flip back really quickly because I neglected to mention that. In this zone, on every bay, there used to be a louver band between the windows that would deal with unit venting. We decided to take the unit venting off of the face of the building and basically tuck it into the side of the bay and make it disappear in the wood material. But we felt that the louver band added a little bit of texture and tactility and a little bit of feature in that facade. So we actually replaced it with the addition of this material here. It's a fiber cement panel with a lot of surface characteristic. So we thought that that would be a good substitute for the surface of the louver that has been removed and replaced with that. As I mentioned earlier, the storefront and metal panel materials are illustrated here, and that metal panel material translates to all of the balconies and the metal detailing around the building. And then we also are compelled to tell you that our window manufacturer changed, but we chose window frame materials that are very similar to what we had proposed before, basically light color window frame in the lighter fields and a darker gray in the darker fields. The rest of the materials are very much the same. We have a creamy color fiber cement panel, the medium gray of the what's called the 8 reveal, this reveal pattern over here. The wood grain is the same. The red material is the same. And the stack bond Coal Creek brick is the same as well. Just looking at the elevations, we just wanted to emphasize that the mechanical screening on the roof got a little bit taller, but it also got its footprint got smaller. So it got tucked closer to the elevator cab and overrun area, though it did get a little bit taller. Before and after. So again, elevator cab got a little taller. Mechanical screening got a little taller, but smaller. More glazing around here. I'm really just going to end up repeating myself at this point as we buzz through the elevations. With that, I'd like to answer any questions you guys might have.
How tall is that screening?
Mindy, how tall is the screening?
Six feet.
Is the railing at the roof edge, or is that recessed back?
It's recessed back. Yeah.
So there used to be a taller parapet there. There wasn't a glass railing.
Correct. What was not illustrated at this design review, we never incorporated the rooftop landscaping into the model itself. Mm-hmm. Whereas now in this model we do. So you can see kind of a feature wall at the roof. But in all of the renderings you can see that, you know, it's really difficult to perceive anything on the roof except for in this view here. You can Plan B. We didn't include plans into this drawing set.
The roof deck is pulled towards the courtyard side of the building. It just doesn't ever go further than the corridor towards any of the adjacent
rafters. Okay. I have some questions. If you could go back to page 8. Bear with me. So the depth of the overhang on what is the east side on the left, a little left there. Yeah, that. What is that depth?
Oh, Mindy told me you were going to ask numerical questions, and I did not. It was illustrated at 5 feet, I think, back then.
And on the north side, then, to the right of it?
It should match at 5 feet.
That matches?
No, wasn't one side longer? One side was longer than the other side.
That was in DRC number 5.
Yeah,
and DRC
at
number
one of
6.
Them it was. Yeah.
When we had the cutouts on the north side, it was elongated.
And to clarify, this top floor, that is a double height space?
No.
That is not? Okay.
It is not, no.
Okay, and then so for the new, what are the depths of those overhangs?
I'd have to ask Mindy about that.
Looks more like
3'6". A little bit less.
Okay, and then the next page 10, same questions.
Yes, same answers.
5
yeah.
And 3'6".
Although the short leg does look a little shorter. And then obviously it doesn't continue around on all three sides of that building anymore. It's an L-shaped canopy at this side.
And when you talk about the legs of the balcony, what's actually happened is the proportion of these two, the reddish form is wider.
Correct. Yeah. And thereby the brick is a little narrower.
It's also, when it wraps into the courtyard side, it's smaller, that red element, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And again, that's just really the units, units driving it. And if you were to kind of go into the nuance of the letter and all of these notations, you would find that that is described.
The brick on the townhouses on 6th got a little taller,
correct.
But rendering-wise, it also looks like it got... The stack bond got real simplified. Is it not? Do we need to change that or?
No. Well, you know the
16 and 17.
Yeah. I will say that for the DRC back in December, it was a bit of an artistic illustration,
okay.
Because it's a image map, and now, you know, brick coursing has been detailed at this level of development.
So for those pilastery elements, you just get two full bricks to get roughly 24 inches wide?
Correct.
None of the cut bricks that get to the little?
No.
Okay.
So separating the patios on the townhouse from 6th sidewalk, there is really not much?
There is...
vegetation?
That's correct. Vegetation and elevation. I would say you can see two steps here that Matt alluded to. And I will also say that the vegetation illustrated in the renderings I did was, again, artistic license and not reflective of Matt's design, I'll say.
Yeah, I think in terms of that vegetation, I think we would look to have an evergreen hedge that would provide that buffer. That sense of privacy, mm-hmm. And then from that towards the sidewalk side, have lower plantings that provide quality of pedestrian experience along the sidewalk edge. So, recognizing that there's a sense of privacy and scale that you want to have.
Is that the same art on the north map?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I wasn't looking.
It is.
Any other questions from the board?
That west end now with the bill of the cap that's chopped off instead of going and returning back into the whitish wall. Is that structural? Is there a reason it doesn't go back there like it did before?
As I mentioned, it was a cost savings
cost.
Measure.
Okay.
And as part of the cost savings, the structural implications, that kind of drives the cost discussion.
Okay. So we got the windows then in that west end of the gray poke out, correct? Where there were none previously.
West end of the gray poke out. This guy, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Number 22. Windows added.
But the banding detail that was present on the northeast and the northwest is gone in both cases.
Not correct. It's still illustrated in the image on the north, this image here.
Right, but this is just a described detail here as opposed to what it used to be.
It's a similar detail. I think the size of the metal shape got smaller, a little less tall, but it's a similar detail in that it's a, you know, metal channel that kind of unifies those balconies.
So this is still a metal channel?
Correct.
Can you go back to that corner? Let's see, it's on your sheet 9, our sheet 11.
Yes.
So back to the workout space.
Oh, yes.
It looks like I see two starburst sort of chandeliers hanging down. And what do you see as a pedestrian standing there at 15 or 19? You just see the upper reaches of the workout space?
No, I did not incorporate the interior design into this model,
right,
because this meeting was focused on the changes to exterior design. I would have to refer to the interior design drawings.
Okay.
Tastefully done, I can say that, but I can't actually say what it is.
Is that a big, big room, or is it really small and tight for just a few treadmills and that kind of thing?
It's pretty large. I would say it's 800. Bigger than that. 1,500 square feet. So it's a large space.
With a big high ceiling.
Yeah.
But the floor is going to come from the floor. That room is 7 to 8 feet.
Okay.
Well, if, again, if the...
Five,
but the windowsills appear to be 3 feet, 2.5, 3 feet above grade, so they're at 84.
Can we get you to the microphone if you're going to
maybe
speak?
Yeah.
What Mindy's saying is that we think there's still a discrepancy in the, you know, site topography of the model that surrounds Building A right now. And I think what is going to happen, if I understand Mindy correctly, is that the actual topography and the grading is going to actually come up closer to the sill. But to your point, the sill is located where it is.
So you're not going to see people in there?
You'll probably not see people if they're...
You'll see a back wall of some kind and some starburst chandeliers or something hanging down.
And again, to Matt's point, there's the red line that demarcated where the garage is.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a garage underneath that green area right now.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. Yeah, we can do that.
Let me just look at each pair of renderings and discuss it.
All right, so is everyone on page, I guess our page 10 and 11?
Mm-hmm.
If I recall, one of the original design concepts for this was supposed to be like a lantern or a beacon. And there were even holes, you know, going through the overhangs.
The strong corner.
Uplighting the soffit, it was going to go.
Well, can I interject? That was also DRC number 5. And DRC number 6 is very close to what was illustrated in that. We have the light band that does surround the canopy element.
And it stays.
It stays. It's there. It's illustrated. There were so many meetings. I just want to be clear that this
is our deliberation period.
Okay. I apologize.
I understand when there's interior design challenges further back, if you're looking at, you know, the balcony, why they can't have as much glazing. There's walls and closets. But at the corner, where it's really the most visible in public, I'm disappointed in the reduction of glazing there.
You know, one of of the things that I'm disappointed in this is it. It's Kirkland Urban, and they presented a plan that was very urban driven, and we've gotten very residential.
I even feel the color palette's a little less urban.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that changed from. I'm missing the gray.
I'm missing the gray.
Yeah.
I'm usually wanting to warm it up, but
yeah, I think it's a less sophisticated palette than it was, and probably doesn't blend with the main Kirkland Urban project as well as it did. That banding, the change in the banding, the proportion of the corner, I think is less successful than it was. The rendering isn't helping them in terms of the landscape. So I think a new rendering that shows the landscape plan a little better will help this. Maybe, I guess we just have to, are we fine with the color change? Are we fine with the change in proportion? Are we fine with this relationship, the corner basically? I mean, this is basically a back corner now as opposed to a front corner, the way it responds to the street.
So. We've also lost the top.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Weber Thompson gave us a very good design, and it's getting VE'd. You know, I'd like to save talent some money using standard colors, but I don't think it makes for a stronger building. Maybe I'm being picky. I don't know. No. Dave, Tim, what do you guys think? You haven't said anything yet.
Presented to us, I can see the, you know, the landscape changes and progression of the project, but it's watered down. It's less of a building.
I can probably live with the color change, the glazing change, especially at those corner and those upper units that are up above that. I forget what floor numbers we are. I think that's the bigger thing for me is that it
what about the overhang?
Yeah. But
I'm going to say I'm still puzzled with what you see down here at where the workout room is.
So they had to push the building into the ground, and so that floor appears to be lower than it was.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, to the Totem Lake, you know, residential project where they were even talking about having a TV or projection screen inside that corner. I was very skeptical of it, but at least they were proposing and giving us something. I would almost want to push for something else, you know, in this case, because this is such a, it's like the entryway corner to downtown Kirkland.
I would hope it wouldn't. Screen.
Well, I guarantee. I mean, these would be the fan. I haven't been in the fanciest of gyms, but I've never seen starburst lanterns like this in a gym. You know, I highly doubt that you're going to get something that sculpturesque.
I think it matches just what was on the west side in the retail space, just for rendering purposes. But the fenestration pattern on that, the new workout facing north. Just looks very, I mean, that looks like the Kenner set I had when I was 12, you know, 11 years old, with the little snap-in panels of, you know, probably not operable on the bottom and fixed up on top, but I, you know, I don't see any reason for it, and it looks, just looks like there's going to be nothing to see.
Yeah.
Was there anything in the code or calling out for this development about kind of creating some landmark feature at this corner?
No, it did. Didn't
yeah, I thought that there was something that said it was a gateway and that needed special treatment. I mean, that's why we had such a grandiose canopy for the very first, you know, iteration. They were proposing big, bold strokes. And I think that there was a reason. I thought that there was a call for that.
There's a gateway sign further east as you come down the hill, isn't there?
Yeah, but I think we're talking about more than just a sign.
Okay.
But We're checking right now.
Okay. So I think, I do think that room walked out, or it looks like it did. The signage related to that space originally, you can see now they've pulled the, I mean, if we go through the, I mean, unit venting, that doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. Losing louvers is a little sad.
I like the windows. Yeah, I like those sorts of changes. I like they extended the L's. I like they kind of eliminated some hardy grid and put in some lap siding and added the fiber cement panel, you know, to try to offset the fact that the louvers are gone. They're trying to maintain texture. But some of these general, like, reducing the canopies, changing the color, those are just VE items. You know, that doesn't, that's not for design reasons.
I think also in the very front, losing the bands on that corner is a tragedy. I think that it's...
Well, and this one is, I think the northwest corner is, mm-hmm. is a really decisive move backwards. So
if those bands, you know, years and some time ago were exposed channels, which I think they were, mm-hmm. so, but they had more width and more... You know, but from a distance, if you don't know they're steel channels, would just additional depth to the horizontal elements on the revised version, would that suffice? I mean,
you know, it's just sort of hard to say because it's probably six different elements that have all changed, and as a result, the proportion.
I think they should at least tie together, similar to the other corner. We get two different corner conditions. In the canopy that stopped short of returning into the white wall, that's tragic. It just looks like a mistake. Like, if I saw that, I'd be like, well, what happened? They run out of material?
I don't think...
No.
I think we still need to look at this.
Yeah.
Just, what my eye sees, too, is just we get this, you know, in between the color change on the mid-floors, we have this huge box where, you know... It just stands out so much more.
You're talking the red box?
It's wider.
Yeah, it's wider. Mm-hmm. It you know, before it was narrower, it was broken up with the, it was unnoticeable, or it just played better. Now it's predominant.
Are these minor variations? I guess that's the question for us to advise you.
Any one, I'd say, could be minor, but as a collective whole, I think it creates a much larger impact.
So, I mean, what we can do is ask for them to make some adjustments to keep it minor. Or, I mean, I guess that's...
I don't know if we would have... The changes as presented, I don't know if we would have okayed.
Mm-hmm. There are guidelines about the gateway, both in terms of the landscape treatment and plaza treatment, where I think that's probably not a substantial issue. But there is a discussion, there's a section that talks about the building as gateway with roof profiles and...
No, I remember that was very distinct in our discussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they created that big canopy. I kind of liked, but it was a little controversial, you know. So they reduced to this with the underlighting, and everyone was happy with that. But what's proposed now has been reduced so much. I don't think it qualifies as gateway. Yeah.
Well, so I would say, in terms of the horizontal. The massing of the reddish box to the rest, that doesn't bother me so much. I think that the reduction at the overhang, I think it was a deep overhang because of the importance of the corner. The scale of the trim band, I think, looks too narrow.
And you're still on the page 8, 9 differences, the 6 and 7.
Yeah.
So I think going back to the original overhang, going back to the original trim band could be things for them to look at. I think that the relationship to the ground, I think we have to decide if we think it's okay for it to, you know, is the plaza and the landscape become the emphasis, and we let it be behind where the fitness room is below grade. I think asking them to make a stronger connection to street level there is going to be really difficult if their floor is down so deep.
I guess my issue with the way the windows look on the very first floor is, you know, we did have kind of a strong statement of glass on the first floor.
It looked like a storefront.
Yeah, now it looks, I don't like the way the windows look. I don't like the smaller window at the bottom, but I think if you could do something with landscaping to, and which, sad to say, disguise it, because before it was something we wanted to see, and now we're looking at disguising it.
I think the sign is unfortunate there. I mean, there's one right in front of it, out in the right of way. Does the building wall need to be a sign as well?
Does the sign on the building, is it going to be just general project, or is it going to be specific to something of that building alone?
I don't know the answer to that.
I know. It's almost like, do we need two signs?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me like what should happen is the landscape should create a foreground that provides the signature corner interest at the ground level. If the building's going to, you know, like you say, we hide it essentially, and then the building above, I think we need to get back to some of the more signature pieces that we had. I think that the landscape hedge is important to take the place of the walls that are gone at the townhouses. Because if you look at the rendering right now, they just sort of bleed out into the right of way. So I think that that's something we should ask for. I don't mind the brows. I don't mind the venting. I don't mind. The vague window composition on this side, where they flip them, I think that's not a big deal. Color.
Again, the color change is okay with me if we can get the window size back at the corner, the much larger. And I know it's apparently, as item number two, it's energy code compliance, as well as working better with the interior spaces. But
well, it's a detailing issue, too, that they had a trim corner structure before, and now it's been beefed up.
Are we just supposed to advise you right now?
Well, yes, but you have enough items that we would want this to come back.
Okay.
Because as you said, you're questioning whether or not these changes are even minor.
Yes.
So
I think we are.
I still don't think they're minor, because I think it changes the presentation, and it's mainly this corner and the other corner.
Yeah.
The other minor changes, the brick, and that is minor. I don't think we need to look at that again, but the two presentations of the corners, I think.
Yeah.
Because
I think turning to the next corner, this one is even more difficult.
I
Okay, so did we move on to 12 and 13?
Mm-hmm. Tim, let's have you start.
That horizontal banding, I think, is sorely missed on this elevation as well. Just the number 9 steel channel removed. Again, I don't know if it had to be a steel channel, because I think when it's, you know, 5-6 stories up in the air, yeah, you might see it as a steel channel, but you might also use it as a horizontal band of some kind, and I don't know. I know that's really expensive to do, and that's what they're running up against, but...
I like even just the color change. So for me, it doesn't have to be a steel band. It just, I like the way it frames the building.
Yeah, I think a horizontal element, yeah, tying them together, the two balconies.
Yeah, I just noticed this. And it's kind of a question to the applicant. Am I noticing in the old version at that corner, those balconies had a steel post or a column of some kind near the corner that is not there now?
It's still on the long leg. It's just the long leg was flipped to the north side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I don't see it, but I'll take... And I think, too, the size of that band or reveal, I think, being now that it's very, very slim at the edges of the deck with what appear to be, you know, face-mounted handrail system versus the continuous, you know, banding with top-mounted or appear to be top-mounted rail system, I think, it's a small, but I think a big enough difference that you would see it. Interestingly, when you get over to the inset balcony, those aren't, or they are not rendered that way. And, you know, they look like identical the railing. They're just bridging straight across with top mount to the intermediate posts. Little things, but and I think the bill of the cap here is really noticeable, the change.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the top of the store
just looks unfinished, and I don't think that's a huge expense.
It's some expense, but I think this is an important element. It's an important corner. It's an important side.
Mm. I mean, even little subtle changes. The top of the storefront, see how it meets in the old one? It meets the bottom of the red box,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't. Was that the storefront brought down, or was that the red box that was brought up? Little things like that, you know, change the proportions of the building and how you read dominant elements versus, you know, secondary and tertiary.
Well, and the red box, part of it is that it's smaller when the decks, you know, wrap around to the west side. I'm just thinking that if the bands were there, we wouldn't see the red box is so big. I actually like the red box going down to the storefront.
The way it was originally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked more elegant.
Well, it was really good design. If the band continues as it is now, there's going to be a little itsy-bitsy bit of red below rather than taking it all the way down to the top of the storefront. So if we had to pick and choose, if we had X number of dollars to throw at it, what's the most critical thing?
Well, the roof line, I think, is the most critical.
I think the canopy, I think that one may be my... And for me, the windows back at the sixth corner, the size of the glazing there, saying that this is different, this is unique, and that would be my two places.
elevator overrun and all the material changed without the vent louvers and all that is, those are very minor to me. I don't see any issue with those.
I don't think that you're going to see the utilities on the roof are any taller.
No, I don't either.
I would say that the change in the parapet height, and that is, I think, again, it's a proportion issue that...
Which page was that?
If you look on our 22-23.
Okay, yeah.
So it's just the top of the building...
Is lower.
Is lower, so there's less of a field for these frames to hang against. And then, actually, so this is the north, and then if you look on the next page, the west. I guess this is the interior, right? This is the interior courtyard where we see all that railing now where we didn't before.
If you're picking and choosing, though, is that a primary sticking point?
I don't know if seeing the railing is that bad a thing.
I don't mind. I guess now that I look at it, I don't mind seeing the railing, but going back to the north side, I do think it's another one of these proportion things. And this is probably what we're seeing is the whole building has been compressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the proportions are all different.
So, Angela, what do you need from us?
Could you, before you go on, give us some direction on 2425 also. So this is, it's another corner. I don't know if you're not calling attention to it. So this is the corner, the sixth entry.
They're 2420?
They're 2425.
Okay. So it's only shown in elevation. You don't have a perspective.
So this is...
We lose all that patterning on that tall vertical. Is that the stairwell element? I believe it was.
Right.
I don't know if that was just left off of the rendering or if it's actually gone.
What's the change in material?
It was left off of the current rendering. There will be pattern in there. It's a different material system.
What was this?
That was an ambiguous metal panel. That was undefined at the time, but this is going to be the AEP cool champagne.
So this is more of a reveal panel, custom reveal panel, raised reveal panel. And then these bays are different.
Correct.
This is just a, if you look at the red now, it's just a large box. It used to be dark and a red.
If I could just interject why. In previous, the brick was kind of a floating element, and it was kind of illogical to the rest of the project in that the brick always touched the ground. So it was a revision to kind of unify it with the red, that kind of better worked with the proportions of the western facade, and then kind of got rid of that floating brick mass, which didn't really make a lot of sense.
This was brick?
No, this was brick. And it was floating over like a inset facade.
I
So the white area is going to be a creamier color?
No, same color.
Okay.
So this is a printing issue?
Yeah.
I guess this interior side, I think, is, to me, it's less worrisome. I mean, it'll be visible until the next building is, until the old building is down and the next building is built, right?
Except, I mean, there will be a drive, I mean, the access through there, which is effectively a street width. So you do see this, the end of the south, the wing that's on 6th Street, you see that end if we...
I mean, it's obviously was nicer before.
Yeah. Because that's the screen that goes, drops down into the garage parking is what we see under the larger red box now. They're on 25.
Like I said, as we work around, then we should look at the east too. For how that sort of resolves on the east facade. I think part of the deal with these mechanical screens is because the parapet dropped, they're more
predominant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looked,
and we're missing a brow on the southeast corner now.
Where's that?
The page.
Yeah, no, I mean, which one are you looking at?
There was a gray brow there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is all wood framing up there. Is that why we're having such structural issues with these brows extending out?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. There, I think there are steel elements in order to support the double cantilevers, but that's where we're at.
We can't throw just big old LVLs out on a diagonal and pick up the loads that way.
I'm not the engineer.
Okay.
So what? Okay, they're the same, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's like a game of Where's Waldo, seeing the differences. Yeah. I'm struggling with
the
time.
Proportion again of, if you look on the east, the proportion of the angled frames is different. Yet again, I don't know, it's just the bay modulation is all different, I guess. Something. My concerns are the overhangs. I think that they should all come back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the gray to the champagne. I feel like it's a more, I think it's just a more elegant solution. Going beige is bothersome to me. I think we talked about the plaza, the corner treatment, and the landscape, that needs to be more distinctive.
Well, we should at least see what it is.
Right. Yeah, it mm-hmm. might be fine, but we need to see it. And the trim band.
The horizontal banding at the
mm-hmm.
at the corners.
And, yeah. So that's where I'm at.
The glazing.
Yeah.
I will throw in glazing.
I would like to see the glazing at the top level. I mean, I understand the constraints on the main level. Just seems like we could do a better job than what was presented today with the windows. And really, this is, if it is supposed to be a gateway, we should be getting that back.
I think in general, the changes to the bay widths to, you know, non-bay widths, it can work.
Yeah. Unless you have before and after, you may not even notice it or register that it was.
Yeah.
Not
if we had
composed.
All those elements and they just changed that, it might seem like less
totally.
Of a change.
Yeah.
And I find the parapet really bothersome, but I'll.
I'm wondering, I mean, on that, the only thing that bothers me about it is it doesn't play very well with the big L's.
Right, because there's...
Because it's a thin band.
There's nothing up above it. Right.
Do you understand that, why the change happened, or is that...
To the parapet?
Yeah.
I assume it was just cost. Taller ones are more expensive than shorter ones.
Height or a cost question?
It shouldn't be height.
No,
yeah, they're
well
under the height, yeah. Dave, anything else jumping out at you?
Where's the rest of the board on the parapet?
Doesn't bother me.
In comparison to a lot of the other items, it seems minor.
Down.
I mean, but when you look at it in elevation, it makes a difference. But, you know, if we're trying to give them some, then I could let that slide.
It's on the back of the building, so it's less important on the back.
Yeah, I'm talking about the east and the north.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you come down the hill in a vehicle in the wintertime, you will see how much is above those L's to the top of the parapet, and it'll be clear that there's a small little itsy-bitsy amount compared to what it was. But as a...
And it's, you know, we're losing its effect as a screening element. The, you know,
mm-hmm. With limited funds, I would say that would be my... toward the bottom of my list. I'd rather have see the other stuff.
Just, I'm not gonna, I won't dig my heels on that.
Do we need to comment on surface changes around the north, the new curving sidewalk and all that, and the AD lift? I'm fine with that. It seems to have simplified it to a great degree. I am concerned that an ADA lift works after the kids have fiddled with it, and I've never seen one on an exterior on the north side of a, you know, where moss grows and all sorts of things happen, that it, you know, gets used a lot and or, you know, is vandal proof. I don't know.
I think it's an owner issue though.
Okay.
I would probably be more concerned with, I'd like to see how they're going to screen, you know, all the residential little patios.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is that going to present to the public? Because we're going to have to, you know, are we going to end up with the utilitarian emerald cedar hedge? Or, you know, what is it going to be? So I think that's a pretty major change.
And we can actually cite the page.
I'm looking at page 7. Right now, just kind of this angle, what you'd see there, and then there's another, page.
But I would assume that the price point that these units are renting for, the tenants would not, they would feel like, I need something there. You need to put in something better than just some visible, you know, wimpy little screen that isn't going to be, you know, well, 3 feet.
These aren't showing anything.
Yeah, but I assume there will be. I mean, I heard evergreen hedge of some kind mentioned, which I assume is fairly opaque visually, and it's evergreen, so it doesn't go away in January.
And I think just again back to the corner, that the burden is on the landscape to create the interest here.
Yeah, I think you're right. They changed the character of what's being presented, so the palette should change with it.
We should put that back in the context. There are some guidelines, as you mentioned earlier, about that, so we'll do a little bit of analysis on that also.
So do we need some sort of a motion to continue this, or do you just bring it back to us, or you review and...
Let me go through the list once, but then it's just a matter of when they have these changes ready, we'll bring them back for you to look at again. Okay. It's not a public hearing, so we don't need a motion.
Okay.
So what I've got is more information on screening of the residential patios, the overhangs, want the gray color back, corner treatment, the plaza landscaping, and that'll relate to the gym glazing and how that works. The horizontal banding, the glazing at the top of the corner, and that's what I've got. Did I miss anything?
Can I get a little clarification? In the horizontal banding is illustrated at the corner of 6th and Central now is 10 inches in the current renderings. Can you suggest a height that might...
What was it before?
I don't remember. Probably 14.
See, I think it looked in proportion in the first rendering. I would say something similar to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So more similar to the previous size.
Previous.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Because it's a little more contrast. It gives just a little better separation of those elements.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
That horizontal banding seems to have sort of a black emphasis to it.
That was old. Hmm? Yeah. Oh, and it's got...
If it was a steel beam, it probably had, you know...
As a C-channel, it would have had a shadow line from it.
All right.
Okay.
So if that's everything, I don't think there's any other items on the agenda.
I move for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Yeah.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Thank you, everybody, for your input tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for your input tonight.